scouts, past, present, and probably future, as I understand it from Levi over here. I never did Boy Scouts or Eagle Scouts, anything like that. Growing up, my family, we didn't really have a lot of money, and I find this one of the funniest stories ever. So they came to our church as like a recruitment thing, you know, join the Scouts, come hang out with us, all that. And I saw all the archery and everything like that. I was like, Mom, let's go do that. Well, Mom not going to tell us we can't afford that. She made up the excuse that all they do is arts and crafts so that I would not be crushed. So I know that is more than – that is definitely – y'all do more. Let me clarify that. But that is just one of my favorite memories because we just couldn't do it. So thank you. Thank you so much, everyone here at the Stunt Scouts. So this next month, we're going to be diving into Philippians, another one of the prison letters here. And we're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, if you want to follow along. Verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also in the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, this month, like I said, we're going into Philippians, another one of the prison letters. And one of the things that we've talked about before is just Paul's zealous for the gospel, how much of a zealot he was for the gospel, how much he has done, and really how much of his character shows through all of the text. For example, he's a very fiery individual. Now, that being said, he also had a lot of an ego. And as I've said before, I have an ego, and I identify with that a lot. You don't have to raise your hand, but does anyone here struggle with pride, struggle with an ego? Yeah, oh, you raise your hand. I like it. That's the first step, admitting it right there. I like it. That's good stuff. I didn't think anybody raised their hand. I like it. But what Paul is really wanting to dive in here is how we've talked about being the light, like it says, how can God use me to be the light in the world on that sign outside. He's really wanting to also show us how we can do that another way. Because we talked about loving others as they are. That's been one of the main messages throughout this year. But another way that we can do that is practicing the humility of Christ. And as I'm sure a lot of you have probably heard a message like this before, but I want to expand on that. I want to expand what it means to truly be humble in the name of Jesus. Verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. What he's saying is, if you have these things, if you say you have them, do it. It's kind of like the calling people out, which I really, really like to do. It's calling people out where they're at. If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Again, this idea, like we talked about in the previous series, being like-minded, being of one mind, body, and spirit. How can we look at it from a side of humility then? How can we be united in Christ and stay humble? How can we take humility to unite us instead of letting our pride or egos get in the way and divide us? We see a lot of that in the world, don't we? Ego is getting in the way of something that is truly great. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. This is a very hard pill to swallow here, I think. For me, personally. Because a lot of the time, I thought that I'm promoting the gospel by taking myself out of a situation, saying I'm showing the light of Christ by going out and not being in the dirt of sin. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I'm taking myself out and not truly showing love because I'm withdrawing from a situation or from someone that needs the love of Christ, but I'm saying that I'm doing that out of love. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when that's the most appropriate because we have to draw boundaries. We have to set firm stances for everyone around us. That's a part of being human. But to truly show the love of Christ, we got to get down in the dirt. And I know for a fact, with me, my ego has gotten in the way of that a lot in my life. Has it gotten in the way for you? Is anybody's ego or pride getting in the way of the Father? It's a hard question. I'll be the first to say it. I'm guilty of that. I'm not going to be one of those preachers that says, I'm doing everything right while y'all are just doing it completely wrong. No, that's not what this is. Is there a time that your ego has gotten in the way of either receiving or giving the love of Jesus? Each of you should look not only your own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is a very key statement because of one word. Or one phrase, excuse me. Look not only to your own interests, but also. It goes from very focusing outwardly on everyone to taking into account yourself at the same time. You see what I'm saying? One little phrase changes a whole aspect here. Because in the message of the gospel, it is so easy to get caught up in this thing of spreading it to everyone else, making sure that everyone else around us is taken care of. But how can we help others if we can't help ourselves? The answer is this: you can't. Now, you're probably thinking, this is very confusing. We're going back and forth between helping others and helping ourselves. You might think we're just trying to stay on one side of it here. No. What Paul is trying to say, to really show the humility of Christ, is to consider others before yourselves, but also understand where you are at as a person, where you are at in your spiritual walk. You see, what Paul is talking about here in Philippians, and again, my little cheater's Bible that I like to call it, as I've said before. Paul had founded the church of Philippi 10 years before this letter. So the church had been going on strong for about 10 years now, and he had suffered a lot. He had jealous competitors, imprisonment. In the chapter before this, he talks about the chains of Christ as he had mentioned before, referencing that he is in prison for what he's doing. But see, this is about two things here. This is talking about going through hard times of keeping others in front of yourself, but also the teamwork that is required when showing the love of the gospel. I'm sure we've kept up with the current times, the church as a whole, not just any specific denomination, has not done the best with that. It's not worked as a team. And a lot of the time, we might think, how does this one church in Englewood, Tennessee, make a difference? Well, here, it starts with us working as a team, as a congregation, with everyone in our community. Because this church is still thriving. Paul is saying we have to work as a team with our communities, with our other churches, family, everything. Put others before ourselves to spread the gospel. Work together. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. On the back of your bulletin, it says, a scout is a servant. Jesus was a servant. The crazy part about Jesus is he knew exactly where he stood with God. He knew that he was God incarnate. In human form, Godhead three in one, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet he still chose to have a very personal, servant-based relationship with each and every person that he came into contact with. Now let's put ourselves in those shoes. You may know where you stand with God. Maybe very confident in your faith. You know your identity in Christ. Now, do you imitate that humility? This is a question for you to answer. I don't know. I don't know what you guys are doing during the week. All I know is that you still continue to love each other and support each other in every aspect, because I see it when we're all here together. Or maybe you don't know where you are with God. Maybe you don't know where you stand with God. Or you know exactly where you stand very far away from God. You see, friends, for anyone who is facing that, the opportunity with the love of Jesus to share that love with Jesus is right here by accepting Jesus, accepting him as your personal Savior, accepting him as the Savior, the Son of God. The opportunity is there because he was humble. He came down from heaven and got to know each and every person he ever met. And he's still doing that today. He is still getting to know each and every person in this room. Because every day is a new day. It's a new walk with God. Something different is bound to happen. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, the ultimate sign of humility, because the cross was the death of a criminal, a horrible form of torture, but it was also one of the most humiliating. Strung up there, hands across, seeing everything, any insecurities is all on that cross. But the thing is, Jesus did that anyways. He knew what it was, but he did that because of his love for us. His love for you and me. The most perfect example of humility right there on that cross. So what did God do? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. because through this, Jesus conquered death. Through this ultimate act of humility, of putting the world before himself, he conquered death. He conquered life and death. He did everything. Now you see, when we imitate the humility of Christ, we have the opportunity to step into Christ's shoes, to be a small part of God's big plan. So then I ask again, has your ego or your pride ever gotten in the way of the love of God? Is it still getting in the way? Have you truly submitted to a relationship with Jesus? Have you truly given up your own pride of saying, I know the answers, because we don't? Have you given that to God? And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then I ask, has your tongue confessed from a place of humility, from a place of understanding, we are not the center of the universe? And I know for a lot of you in this room it has, but there might be some who haven't. Has it truly confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord? Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for just loving us where we are at. I'll be the first to say that my ego has gotten in the way of your love many, many times. But you still love everyone for who they are, the good and the bad. So I pray that this week we can let our ego, our pride, that wall that we have built, come crashing down. That we can truly see your love and light in the humility of Christ, and that we can imitate Jesus Christ this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.